William Hodes was in the second semester of his sophomore year at Harvard when he was recruited to take part in Freedom Summer. Hodes was assigned to Greenwood, a key site in Mississippi, for SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Prominent SNCC leaders Stokely Carmichael and James Forman also called Greenwood home during the project, a boon for Hodes as he found himself immersed at the heart of the legal and legislative efforts being crafted for the movement.
I was very lucky to be very close to the central planning of the whole summer effort, and we stayed in the homes of very brave local black families.
Housing the mostly white volunteers that summer put black Mississippi families at risk of reprisals by police, their employers, and the Klan. All of the hundreds of volunteers were first called to Oxford, Ohio for a thorough training on how to use nonviolence tactics if confronted or arrested, to clarify the mission, and bring the harsh realities of the danger of the racist South into clear focus.
Part of the overall Freedom Summer effort was not only to bring national attention, because you know, the fact of the matter is you weren't going to get full attention until a lot of white people, frankly, from the North were involved. That was part of the plan, and we understood that, and we're glad to put our bodies on the line to bring that attention. But the second effort was to educate and strengthen the local community to, you know, fight for their own rights.
Hodes says he had two main activities that summer, canvassing and registering sometimes very fearful black voters for the upcoming election in 1964, and organizing the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. Mississippi already had a Democratic Party, but it excluded blacks and minorities. The Freedom Party would elect its own delegates and challenge the all-white delegation that year at the Democratic Party's National Convention in Atlantic City. In racially segregated Greenwood, crossing to the next block sometimes meant crossing a dividing line between black and white neighborhoods. While canvassing one day to gain support for the Mississippi Democratic Freedom Party, Hodes found himself in trouble.
In fact, I got arrested because I tried to recruit some white people. I went to somebody's door, you know, knocked on the door as I had, and a white woman appeared, and you know, I screwed up my courage and said, hey, we don't discriminate against people. And I showed her the same petition that I had just shown, you know, 10 black women who had opened the door. And she didn't, you know, do much. She refused, and she looked at me kind of suspiciously. And about 10 minutes later, I was picked up by the police. And I think, I'm pretty sure it was the same woman. She sort of pointed me out. Yeah, she said, yeah, he's the one. He's been making trouble.
Even before leaving the nonviolence training in Ohio, Hodes and the rest of the world were aware of the dangers of the Freedom Summer workers. It was front page news that three volunteers who had left the training early to investigate a church bombing in Philadelphia, Mississippi, Mickey Schwerner, James Cheney, and Andrew Goodman, had not returned from their mission and were feared dead.
It was very, very scary, I will tell you that. I was taken to the local lockup. I was charged, I think, with disorderly conduct or disturbing the peace. I was put in a sort of a, like a holding cell with several people. Yeah, I think I was the only voting rights people. I was probably in with the town drunk.
A couple of people from SNCC posted bond and safely escorted him from jail. Once he returned to school, Hodes changed his major and set his sights on law school, where he studied the case of his arrest and the thousand others from the 10 weeks of Freedom Summer.
I just became fascinated with how what was happening on the streets in real life was actually being driven by the legal strategy behind it all.
Hodes went on to become a professor at Indiana University Law School in Indianapolis. He retired from there and now has a consulting practice in Florida. He also clerked for Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was one of his law professors at Rutgers. For 90.1 WFYI News, I'm Lee Dinoon.